Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstcclinic.com.
All right, so the new CBA is the biggest topic right now, and I think the next biggest topic for me, Mike, might be the fact that the Cowboys and Steelers are going to be playing in the Hall of Fame game. And I know everybody's like, hold on, what? But in terms of
more preseason.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happens is your summer vacation just got cut by a week and you have an extra week of training camp. Like that's a longer season for those guys now. So that being said, also, I think Jerry Jones is trying to steal some shine from your boy Jimmy Johnson as he goes into the Hall of Fame. All right, but here's what I wanted to kind of grind down on, and that is the what Eric Reed posted.
Okay.
What? You had a look on
no,
your face.
No, just like Jerry will make sure when they ask him when he's in Canton, Ohio, he'll just say, look, I don't want to talk about Jimmy Johnson and him being in the Hall of Fame. That'll take away from, you know, his time.
I totally agree.
So I'm going to ignore that he's even going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I think that we already sent out a congratulatory tweet. All right, so we're good. All right, so here's the thing.
And he's probably like, I didn't even know we did that. I didn't even say we should do that.
So Eric Reed had his lawyers, Garagos and Garagos, look at the entire 456 pages of the CBA. Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? The owners know that. The owners and the lawyers and the NFL, they know that that's a beating, and most of the guys in the NFL aren't going to look at it.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm absolutely sure of that.
All right.
Because they do business all the time like this, and they know most people don't do the fine details. They say, hey, lawyers. And if these guys don't have lawyers, then they're just going to vote based on whatever their friends say they should do. But here's what the lawyers of Eric Reed have to say. We received this 456-page proposed collective bargaining agreement in detail. This proposal disproportionately empowers ownership, disproportionately enriches ownership, and disproportionately burdens the players with the risks of the 10-year proposal. Instead, players are being misled, taken from, and left vulnerable, and the attached fact sheet outlines key points. The proposal adds games at the discretion of the owners, reduces player safety benefits, guts disability benefits, and reduces civil rights while giving greater than majority of revenue and benefit to the owners. We suggest players vote no.
Can you believe that the owners didn't give a great proposal on their first offer?
I can.
Man, that's amazing. And I feel bad for these players because just being in major league clubhouses, they'll be like, I can't believe that a guy like Mike Trout, best player in the game, a lot of money, makes hundreds upon hundreds of millions of more dollars than the most popular football players. Football is so much more popular than baseball, yet the athletes in basketball and baseball make way more money than your popular football players, and they're bringing in $5 to $7 more billion per year than those other sports, and yet they get paid less.
Yeah, and no guaranteed contracts either.
It's amazing. I'll say it's amazing to baseball players. I'm not a basketball guy, but I bet basketball guys have the same conversation. Like, I can't believe that football players can't figure out how to push the owners to giving more fair deals. But because there's enough players in football, and I get it, there's more players on a football team, especially than a basketball team, is that there's enough poor football players that say, I just want my 2 to 3 years that I think I'm going to get in this league, and I don't care about any other human being besides myself.
From the 469, Welcome to the real world. Sounds like a public school teacher contract. Boo-hoo, quit crying. That, right. And that's what,
guess what?
That's what the general fan is going
to
say,
and
right?
Guess what? I can be a public school teacher. It'll take me 6 months to do everything I need to do to become a public school teacher. You can become a public school teacher. Everybody listening can become a public school teacher. None of us can become NFL football players. None. Zero.
0.1% of athletes.
Yeah.
And that's not a big percentage of the world.
Yeah. And I don't, I revert to baseball because those are the numbers I know. There's been 20,000 people born in the history of humankind that have become Major League Baseball players. And that's it. When you think that your kid's going to become like a Major League Baseball player, hey, keep that dream alive. It's possible. It can happen. There's been 20,000 people born that have become that. So when you think of it and you start saying, well, they should just be happy with what they get, because we love that sport so much, because we give so much time and money to that sport, and because so few of us in the history of mankind can even come close to playing the sport at that level, that's what makes them special, and they don't see themselves as special.
Yeah, here's the thing I see, Mike, here, is we all, everybody out there tries to say, you know what, these guys make hundreds of millions of dollars, and they should just deal with it. That's because that's what we do in the real world. Well, the way I look at it is, why not look at them and hope that they can be representative of what we can get? Why not look at players and say, you know what? Yeah, there is a small percentage of people that have all the money in the world, and they're out there taking advantage of one after another person that says, okay, that's a good deal for me. Why not look at it from the perspective of yourself and give yourself more value than to say, whatever they offered me that first time isn't good enough? Sometimes you have more value than you know. And I think that if a lot more people out there started thinking to themselves, man, I actually do have some self-worth.
Yeah.
And I actually am worth something, then you can look at it and you can look at the players and say, I'll live vicariously through them and hope that they get whatever they deserve, a bigger fraction of it. Not because, oh, they play a sport for lots of money and they're complaining about it. But you know what? They're fighting for something they think they deserve. And you know what? Nobody's going to just give you something, and people will take things away from you very quickly. A lot of people will take things from you so fast because you didn't think that you were worth it. So that's why I fight. That's why I'm on the side of the players. I'm on the side of the players because I think they're fighting for something, and I can look at it and say, you know what? If they're getting a win, why can't I get one? And why can't you get one out there who's working your ass off for somebody who probably doesn't respect you?
I know that I can just go back to 1994, and I was in high school, and that was, you know, one of the times where we had no baseball. And in 1998, we had no basketball. And, you know, eventually they both came to a resolution. But those players, as much as you hated them at the time, if you're old enough to hate those players at the time, and the majority of fans of baseball and basketball hated those players at the time, what they were doing is they were sacrificing 6 and 7 figures to try to help out the players of the future. They knew that ultimately they were going to lose money doing this, but they were going to help out the players of from 1994. They were going to help out the players of 2001 through 2005. The players of 1998 in the NBA knew that they were sacrificing half a season where they were going to lose 6 and 7 figures. But they were going to help out LeBron James. They were going to help out, you know, when Kobe Bryant became a free agent, they were going to help them out. And so they sacrificed for what they considered their family. Now, I know that family's family, but they were considering, hey, the fraternity of baseball players is family. The fraternity of basketball players is family. Football players don't see themselves as family. Now, they do on the field when they're playing with each other. But they don't see themselves as looking at the kids right now in high school that are the special players that might be special players on Sundays at some point in their lives. They don't care about you. They don't care about the special kid at Duncanville or the special kid at South Lake or whoever it is. They only care about themselves and for their short term. And so to me, that's the way America is going. We love football the most. And we love ourselves the most and don't see the sacrifices that we probably need to give to the future. And so what they're doing is they're doing the American way. That's the American way now, where we've seen baseball and basketball sacrifice, and it's been better for the future of those players. But
let me get mine while I can. Let me get mine while I can. That's the way our society rocks right now. From the 972, I'm on the player's side, but damn, they make it hard when they have every tool at their disposal and still sign bad deals. And that's why this Eric Reed stuff is so interesting to me, because he's gone out there and used the tool at his disposal to make it very clear and very pointed of why you should vote no against this, because they haven't made the right concessions for you as a player. And so I wanted to hit a couple more things in this, Mike, because I think it's very important. Here's what the lawyers of Eric Reed have said also. They're saying in many organizations, the executive committee voted no. In many bargaining organizations, this would have prevented the proposal from proceeding to the full membership and itself initiated a renegotiation. So because the guys that they originally gave the votes to voted no, because those are your appointed people, it shouldn't have even gone to the players in the first place. So it should have stopped there. They should have started renegotiating from there. The framework of the 10-year deal is not advantageous when there can be drastic changes in any circumstances, they say. It's not good. It's not advantageous for anybody to make this kind of a 10-year deal, especially with both sides not having fair bonuses on each side, especially since a lot of the information that they're working with is, hey, we're going to give you this small percentage. And Mike, we talked about this yesterday. We're going to give you a little bump. But at the same time, we're going to go make an extra $20 billion off of the future. And you guys don't get any of that money in the future anyway. So that negotiation goes away altogether, because there's no negotiation once these TV contracts. The owners are using the CBA. They are saying, hey, we got this thing done. It's all said and done with the players voted. We're good to go. All right, now we can negotiate these contracts with the networks. And the networks are like, oh, hey, that's fine for us. That works for us. The other thing too, Mike, is this is something that really stands out. Active football injury. If you get hurt and you're permanently disabled during on-the-field activity, in the 2011 CBA agreement, you got $250,000 each year. It's a big chunk of change. That's how much Mike makes a month, all right, here at 105.3 The Fan.
I wish.
Now, under the new agreement, if you get injured permanently, you get $48,000. It's $200,000 less than you would make before.
And so, that's what Mike makes a day.
Yeah, that's what Mike makes a day right here at 105.3 The Fan. So you've already taken that away from him. And also, here's the thing that they're trying to strike fear with the players. And this, I mean, this is great leverage, right? Take it or leave it. Reports are that if players don't take this deal, they're not going to get another offer. That would be a violation of the National Labor Relations Act that governs this negotiation. Do not be fearful, they say. If this proposal is not accepted by players, negotiations will continue and the 2020 season will continue as scheduled. A lot of the players have a lot of fears and they don't know who to ask questions to. And that's why what Eric Reed said, hey, lawyers, y'all are smart. Y'all are going to go through 456 pages for me, and I'll pay for it. Can you tell me what I need to know and what I don't need to know and what I need to do to convince our guys that this isn't the right deal for us? And, Mike, you've been saying the owners gave the first deal, and most times, oh, hey, I'll just accept it because that's the deal.
Yeah.
When you have good information.
It's a bad decision from the 214. I get what you're saying, and there's a part truth to this. All pro athletes are grossly overpaid to play a kid's game. I don't care what they do to negotiate. Just don't dare stop working. I get it. It is grossly overpaid. Actors that are really great and actresses that are really great, they get paid $50 million to $70 million to do one film. That's grossly overpaid. It's not that important in our world. Yes, teachers are more important in our world, whether it's police officers, firefighters, there are doctors, there are people that are grossly underpaid that do a much more important thing in our world than playing a sport or acting in a movie or a play. But we as a society will pay thousands upon thousands of dollars to watch these people entertain us. And so when Jerry Jones, and I get it, I guess you're siding on Jerry Jones's side because he owns the team. But when Jerry Jones at the end of the 2019 season has $500 million to disperse between him and his children and the players had $158 million to disperse amongst the players on the Dallas Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys should feel like, wait a second, I get it, you own the team, you should be making money too. But why do you get $500 million per year and we get $158 million of it? Shouldn't it be like, hey,
well, I invested the capital in this in the first place.
Hell, so. I want a bigger boat.
And you have the biggest one, Jerry, is that I want to put this in a way of, if the NFL players stop playing, and because it said, don't you dare stop working because you're making so much money to play a sport, and I get it, I understand that, is if you put the XFL players, the Renegades, if the Renegades have to play as the Dallas Cowboys next year, Jerry's not going to make much money, and he'll start losing money because we're not going to show up, we're not going to watch on television, we're going to know it's a bad product, we're going to be going, man, I think maybe watching Texas A&M or Texas, whoever it is, that might be a better product than actually watching this NFL product, and all of a sudden they'll start losing money over time. The owners need the players. The players need the owners.
Yeah.
But the owners get such an advantage over these players that they know that they can screw them over more than MLB players or NBA players
just like
get screwed
with
over.
Potential of adding gambling. There's no future revenue for the players right now if gambling money gets added into the NFL. Yet the owners will benefit for the next 10 years if they allow gambling revenue to come into the NFL. Players don't get any of that, and there's no negotiation for it in the future. And yes, this is Eric Reed's lawyer who he paid, who's going to be biased towards him. But don't you want somebody fighting for you whenever it's time to negotiate something, rather than you just saying, hey, use all your billionaire lawyers to tell us what is best for us. All right, coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece, Willie Calhoun update. But in addition to that, where the Rangers currently stand in Major League Baseball prospect rankings. Oh my gosh, we got to fix this. Next on the Fan.
It is spring break time. It's that season, whether you're off this week or next week, whether you're traveling or just hanging out, it's time to get those smart cameras you've been dreaming about. So as you, let's just say you go on vacation for 3 or 4 days during spring break, your house isn't being monitored. It isn't being watched. And maybe you just have something basic. Why don't you upgrade? And right now you can upgrade with with DFW security. You have the DIY security that you can look at, the smart hubs, the cameras, the smart home devices. It can be overwhelming. DFW security is here to give you the best equipment, the best technology, the best customer service. And it's all going to be professionally installed. You don't have to do it yourself and screw it all up. At the best value. I've had DFW security for years. My wife has had it now at her office. We love it. I can control my alarm system, door locks, garage doors, thermostats, and cameras from my phone. Everything works together and is controlled from a single app powered by alarm.com, and it's compatible with Alexa and Google Home. DFW security has thousands of five-star reviews. So whether it's for your home or your business, call DFW security right now at 888-507-2344 to get their spring break special. In the spring break special, you're going to get a smart hub with security. You're going to get four cameras for around $2 a day. And if you get installed by March 13th, and I know that's coming up soon, so give them a call. You're going to get 2 months free. 2 months free as long as you give them a call at 888-507-2344. Set up that installation before March 13th. You get 2 months free. 888-507-2344 or dfwsecurity.com.
Mike Bacsik is about to fix the entire Rangers prospect system. The minor league system is about to get fixed with Mike Bacsik. We are going to get into that in just a moment. But Mike, the big thing from yesterday is that Willie Calhoun had surgery. And there's no prospective time limit on when he's going to be back or whenever he's going to be able to get back in the box and swing. But he did have surgery. They got that plate put in his face. And I have a friend who had a plate put in his face because did you ever see the kids that would do the choking game and you'd pass out? Have you ever seen anybody do that? Y'all never saw that? And when I was in elementary school, a bunch of kids thought it was hilarious to get yourself up against a wall.
There's a story about this called The Boy Who Cried Wolf.
Okay. I'm listening.
Where then you actually really are choking, and then they're like, oh, he's just playing. And
okay.
Then the kid dies.
So what they would do is they would sit there and hold your neck.
It's a pretty dark story.
It's really about a wolf.
And close off the blood circulation to your brain until you passed out. Well, a buddy of mine did that, and he was leaned up against a car. When he fell, he hit his face on the concrete. His face then, or his head bounced off the ground and hit the bumper of the car and went back down and broke his orbital bone. And he had a metal plate put in his face. And I was like, dude, you're like Superman now. So Willie Calhoun is now has a metal plate in his jawbone. Hopefully,
sure, he feels like Superman.
He probably doesn't feel like Superman today, but maybe. We'll see.
Depends on those painkillers.
So hopefully everything works out for Willie Calhoun. I'm really hoping the best for him because, as Mike said, he thought MVP for this season. I thought the same thing, and I was really looking out for him this year. He's got the surgery. We'll see how things go. But I saw this piece from Jamie Newberg. And, Mike, what do you think of Jamie Newberg's writing regarding the Rangers?
I love it. I think he gives the Rangers audience over, gosh, it has to be now a 20-year period. At least it feels like it. He gives you as much information about the minor leagues in for your team as any other person I've ever seen around the country. So Jamie Newberg gives you great information, a lot of information. I would say throughout his time, he gives you way over positive information. He overvalues prospects, but he's just excited to be a Ranger fan and write about it. So I've always felt like over time, it's great information. I love it. Especially if you're a fan of the Texas Rangers, it's just that he's overvalued the prospects because they're ours, and he's just excited about our prospects.
Okay, and so that being said, with the piece that we have here, it's sobering to hear a guy that's that positive about things have this, I don't want to say opinion because there's a lot of facts that go into it. Since August, when Baseball America last evaluated the league's 30 farm systems, only one team made a bigger leap in the rankings than the Rangers' six-spot jump last year. Okay? Right. That's good, right? I mean, they made six-spot jump.
Sure.
The leap was only to 21, though. They only moved up to 21.
So still bottom third.
Yeah. And regarding that, he also put out a tweet that said, to take this into consideration, that was Baseball America's rankings. MLB just recently put out their rankings, and the Rangers dropped seven spots. So that gives you an idea of how difficult it is to really understand where the Rangers actually are, but bottom third is where they belong at the moment. Now, we talked yesterday. We had the interview with Josh Jung. He's phenomenal. We see a bright future for that kid right there.
Had a home run off of Lance Lynn yesterday.
Absolutely, and then Lance Lynn got his strikeout against him. But we see a bright future because the kid's willing to work. And he's got the skill to do it too. We went back and looked, and this chart here is fascinating. Since 2017, the Rangers have not ranked higher than 21 on Baseball America's list. 17, 23, 18, 22, 2019, 25th, 2019 midseason, they were 27th. And 2020, before the season, they were ranked number 21.
And I think for a lot of Ranger homers and people that love John Daniels, and I like John Daniels, but they would say, well, that was going to happen because in 2015 and 2016, you made trades and you got Cole Hamels, you got different people, whether it was going and getting Carlos Beltran. And so that was going to happen. Now, I will tell you this. Los Angeles Dodgers are consistently ranked in the top five, and they've won the division, I think it's 7 years in a row. They've been in the World Series twice. They've made a lot of trades. If you look at the Dodgers, they've made quite a few trades over that time to help out their bullpen or whoever it was. Yet
now Dustin May's in their starting rotation.
Cody Bellinger, Walker Buehler.
Yeah.
You just mentioned Dustin May. Gavin Lux is the fourth overall prospect in baseball, who's a guy who is projected to be, when he's in his prime, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, you know, basic stats, you know, 250 to 275 hitter, playing shortstop. So that is an excuse. That's not facts. It's not being factual to say because they made trades – in 2015 and 2016 to help out their major league team that most teams drop off and are then not good at developing players. I just gave you an example of the Dodgers, but you can go over examples of teams that are doing pretty good in the playoffs And it didn't mean, like the Houston Astros, since they made the playoffs in 2015 and started making
what
trades
is,
to make it
Colorado
better.
Rockies?
And I know they cheated, but that they didn't drop off in their farm system crazy. Mm-hmm. There's been a little drop off, but it's not like, oh, you're supposed to go from being maybe top 10 into the bottom third of baseball for a 5-year period.
And that's the Mike, when you talk about the Rangers peak, it was what years?
10 and 11. If you're looking at their major league team,
2008 they were number 4. 2009, the year before they went to the World Series, they were the number 1 team as far as their farm system. And then in 2010 they were number 2. Yeah.
And now you know what's interesting about that is a lot of that was based off of Jurickson Profar, Mike Ault, Martin Perez.
Huh.
So a lot of these guys now, 2008, if I go back to 2008 and their fourth, I bet you'll find a little bit of Neftali Feliz. You'll find Derek Holland. You'll find Scott Harrison. You'll kind of find a little bit of Elvis Andrus. You'll find that Mark Teixeira trade bumped them from 28 in 2007. They trade Mark Teixeira. They go to number 4 because of how good that trade was with the Atlanta Braves. But then I would say it's great they were number 1 and number 2. But if you go back and look at their premium prospects, none of them worked out
but
to
they were
be
able,
premium players.
But they were able to swap deals because of where they were in their farm system, right? Like because of
We're making another excuse of it's great that they were ranked high, but then they developed nobody into actually being a good baseball player.
Okay, but they got Cliff Lee.
Right.
Right? Like that was
that helped that, with that, Justin Smoke.
You had a team put in place and you were able to get Cliff Lee to put you over the top.
Here's what I'm saying,
the last
Corey.
Few years, or the what I feel over the last few years, have been they didn't even have the piece to get them over the top, so they had to junk out everything else for Ryan Dempster's.
Yeah.
And but even this team right now, you have what do you have to swap and flip?
Here's the scary thing. Listen to me here. Even though they were ranked high a decade ago, it didn't actually produce any good major league players. Smoke did make the MLB All-Star team, I believe, in 2018. It might have been 2019. But, I mean, he ended up having a disappointing career. He was considered the next Chipper Jones by Peter Gammons. So all of these guys, that even when the Rangers were ranked high, here's the scary thing about the future of the Rangers. If these numbers start changing from being in the mid-20s to being in the mid-teens to even being top 10, the history is we need to trade for Michael Young. We need to trade for Josh Hamilton. We need to find Nelly Cruz in a trade that nobody wants, and you DFA and you still get to keep them, and they're there. You need to go sign Adrian Beltre. You need to trade for Mike Napoli. So you see, you need to trade for Elvis Andrus. The team that was created that was the best team in Rangers history that I know should have won a World Series, that was still developed through other paths than actually developing players that were going to be good at Major League Baseball. All those players that you traded, they ended up not being good at Major League Baseball.
How did that team end up being good then?
The Rangers?
Yeah.
I just told you.
Because the players they traded away, which were hyped up as big-time players, brought you back something.
And then what did they do for their
That's nothing. Fine. I don't care what they do. When
no,
they
you should
else.
Care.
Why?
You should care. Because we're not trading right now to get guys. We have to not trade, and those guys have to become great players. Josh Young has to become great. The kid from Baylor has to become great. Hans Kraus has to become great. We're not in a position right now like we were at in 2010 where all of a sudden we were really good based off of trades. Or here's the deal. We need to value Josh Young as just a trade piece because he's going to be bad at baseball. We need to value the Baylor kid as just a trade piece because he's going to be bad at baseball. Why? Well, the result is over the last 10 years, we don't develop good Major League Baseball players. We only develop them where they get ranked high, and then Sam Huff ends up being bad. Taylor Teagarden ends up being bad. I mean, we can get these rankings, but these rankings didn't even prove to become good baseball players.
But Mike, I guess that's my question is, if you're never going to use the player, but the rest of Major League Baseball thinks that they're a good player,
are they going to think that after a decade of trading for Ranger players that end up not being good?
Well, I guess that's the other thing.
Yeah, you earn that reputation, right?
Yeah, well, I guess you're right. How do you earn that? And when Keith Law is writing, how does he make the decision on where a prospect is ranked? So if I get Keith Law to start saying, man, all these guys are good, and Baseball America is saying all these guys are good, then what is, you know, that's where these prospects and rankings come from, right? Or is it the scouts? Yes,
here's the other thing, too. It comes from scouts, and it comes from front office, and it comes from coaches. But what they've been doing also is they've been burned by the Texas Rangers.
Okay. All right. That makes
sense.
So
they're like, you know what? We've been told by the Rangers people how great these guys are. And we've also been told by their coaches and scouts. But then over time, you're like, man, I've been told about Profar and Olt and whoever it is. Mazzara recently, how great he was going to be, or Odor or whoever it was. And they end up not being very good Major League Baseball players. Gallo right now is starting to become one, hopefully. But then those people who do the rankings are like, you know what? I've hyped up the Rangers, and it led to success in 15 and 16, not from their players they're developed, but from making trades and guys still being good, whether, you know, whoever it was.
Okay.
But I can't rank the Rangers high because the Rangers aren't developing any good players that either come up to the Rangers or get traded from the Rangers, right? The Milwaukee Brewers trade you made for LaCroix and Jeffress, you sent some really good prospects that way that were supposed to be can't miss. And Luis Ortiz, I'm drawing a blank on the center fielder who's on the Marlins
Brinson.
Yeah. Luis Brinson. They all end up being either bad Major League Baseball players or don't even make it to the major league. So that's why now when John Daniels, and he has a right to say this, is saying, look, I don't think these rankings are right. I really like what we have in our system. But what people are doing, Keith Law, Baseball America, is they're saying, we're not going to rank them high until we start actually seeing results at a major league level because we've ranked your guys high. Then they get to the major leagues and they don't do anything, whether it's for the Rangers or for other teams.
So I guess the other thing is, why is it so bad? What's changed from when we were drafting those guys or whenever we were acquiring those guys and we were ranked number one? And what's changed since then?
I think one theory is this, is that, and now a lot of teams are doing this. This isn't just the Texas Rangers. We've eliminated anybody who can watch baseball and say, man, I see a lot of potential and talent in that guy. Now we've done the,
hold on,
I don't know, I've never seen baseball. I'm going to now base it off of spin rate, exit velocity, launch angle.
But Kip Fagg
Take that for data.
Kip Fagg's been doing this for 29 years as a scout.
Right.
Like, that's not just analytics, that's baseball, right?
Yes, I need to look at Kip Fagg and where he came from.
Okay.
And all. So I'm not saying Nolan Ryan did not make a lot of baseball decisions, but he had a lot of influence on the front office and what they were doing.
So you're a Nolan guy.
If you want to put me in that category, I will say that when John Daniels was at his best, he had a baseball guy with him. When it's been a struggle, it's when he said, I'm going to get rid of all baseball guys, go all, and it's not all, believe it's not all. But if you're going to put me in a corner of yeses and nos and alls or nothing, then I'm going to tell you that if you're going to make me answer yes or no or make me answer all or nothings, he's gotten rid of all, but he hasn't. But he's gotten rid of most baseball guys. He does have Michael Young. He does have Darren Oliver, so he has some. But when he decided to eliminate all of that and go with analytics and the technology and the way baseball's going, we lost a lot of what we had.
All right, we'll get to more of this, Mike. There's plenty to talk about, obviously. You're a wealth of knowledge. I love working with you because of your baseball brain, man.
I love baseball.
It is great. All right, coming up next, the five players to avoid in free agency in the NFL. Next on The Fan. The five players you should avoid in NFL free agency. We'll get to that in just a moment because is there a cowboy on there that maybe, why are the Cowboys high on this guy, but nobody else should be? 877-881-1053. Who do you think it is? Because there is a cowboy on here, Mike. By the way, we just got word that the Ivy League has canceled their conference tournament due to coronavirus or COVID-19.
That's crazy because that's Northeast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where all the Cornell, Princeton, all Yale, all those schools are Northeast, and I just didn't feel like there was, from what I've understood, it's more the Northwest that is having issues in the United States. Not so much the Northeast, but maybe I'm not following the story close enough.
I mean, yeah, California is what we've heard. We got our first presumptive case here, but basically they're just waiting on CDC to confirm it. So that's going on here, but that's a guy that was on the West Coast. He went to Silicon Valley and came back. And then now this, I do wonder if it's because of travel and the idea that, oh, hey, man, getting on a plane and just simply being there, if it's not washed down and disinfected the proper way, you might catch it. And, you know, just I think it's more, Mike, more than anything, I don't think people should be panicked about having it. I think they should be concerned about preventing spread. And that's what I think is most important. Just like our office brought in all these sanitizing wipes and put signs up on the door to say, hey, clean your hands, you idiots.
I'm not going to overreact, but I'm panicking.
Okay, Shippy, don't panic. It's not pandemic level.
I am worried.
Just try to prevent spreading germs.
I should start washing my hands.
You should start washing your hands, yes.
All right, I'm going to start doing that for Lent.
You should start. Okay, but
I've never washed my hands.
You never wash your hands. See, that's the problem, Mike. We're just not going to turn into zombies if we just walk around. Nobody's biting anybody, okay? That's not happening. What's happening is we're not washing our hands and we're spreading germs and we're going to get sick, okay? That's it. But
and then we're going to get better.
Older
unless
people,
you're 80 years old or older.
Yeah, older people will pass from it. We're just trying to prevent more people from having it, okay?
It's going to be in baseball nuggets because this is affecting what we're going to get when it comes to media coverage.
Okay.
Right now, G-Bag Nation is dealing with an issue in Major League Baseball where the interviews that we got, Corey.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to get because they're not allowed in the clubhouse.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's an article from, and I'll get to more into it in Nuggets, but there's an article that now Major League Baseball is having media stay out of the clubhouse.
And Mike, I will say the 3% of people that get it that die, I'm not going to say you're 80 and you're going to die. Like, that's not what I'm trying to point out. But I'm trying to say we don't know enough about it because you even asked the other day, what are symptoms? I haven't even looked. What we don't know about it is what most people are fearful of.
I know what they are now.
Okay, thank you.
Because I'm not freaking out.
Yeah, okay.
But I am.
But you were panicking, but you're not anymore.
No,
I'll
still
say I had dinner with three doctors, one of them being my wife, on Sunday night, and they are not panicking over this.
And I know people are saying there are events shutting down because of it, idiot. That's
like Coachella. Think about them.
Yeah, Coachella Valley has said, nope, we're shutting this down. South by Southwest shut it down.
Yeah.
Just as an idea of preventing something we don't know enough about. That's what they're trying to figure out first. And, hey, we don't have enough tests to do it yet, so we'll figure it out. But it is weird because, Mike, our economy, how much of our economy thrives off of sporting events, mass crowds getting together, and just people being around. Like, just think about the subway system in New York. Somebody said that there's more cases going around in New York than there is in Washington right now. So if just the subway system, the airplanes, like how many airplanes are empty right now? Because people are like, I don't even get on an airplane. So that's what they're trying to figure out is how to keep our economy going because of the panic of what could happen from this.
You see, you can make like $7,000 if you'll just get coronavirus.
Okay, what?
Yeah. If you're just like a guinea pig. Do you think Intercom would let me use my sick days?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Talk about a hustle.
Go ahead and try that out, Shippy.
All right,
so
see you later.
I got a list of five free agents in the NFL that they say at USA Today you should avoid, Mike. How many Cowboys do you think are on this list of five?
One?
I would probably want all of them.
Okay.
Because they're Garrett guys.
Okay, well, I know you're a big fan of Garrett guys. Mm-hmm. I get that. They're number five. These are tight ends.
Were you about to say like number F?
Well,
it sounded like that's what you were about to say.
There are two things here. There is a guy that you shouldn't get, and then the cheaper alternative.
Okay.
All right. So number five, Austin Hooper, the tight end for the Falcons.
He's all right.
1,447 yards, 10 touchdowns since 2018, and his resume also has two Pro Bowl nods on it. Now, and that's before his 26th birthday. You're thinking to yourself, that's a dude right there, but how much of it comes from, hey, Matt Ryan's pretty good, right?
All right. They're saying don't get him.
Do not get him.
Okay. Get Austin Hooper.
No, Mike. Don't get Austin Hooper.
Okay.
Don't.
What I said.
Okay, you said forget him. Okay, I thought you said go get him. No. Eric Ebron is the cheaper alternative.
All right, North Carolina.
I don't love Eric Ebron.
He'll score like six touchdowns in a season, but all six came in one game.
That's somewhat true.
Yeah.
He's been, and I tell you what, the reason that he probably is a big disappointment is where he was drafted, right? I think we get this because wasn't he drafted like 9th or 12th? I mean, he was a pretty high pick in the draft, and because he hasn't lived up to those standards, and I just wonder And I think you make valid points, like Shippy saying, like, he is a super hot for three games, and then there's 13 other games where you're like, hey, can you get, like, just average numbers in those games? And he's like, no, I'm going to be pretty below average in those. But I just wonder if sometimes in our head we put somebody down, like Ebron, who's an average tight end, but we think he stinks because he was drafted high and didn't live up to any type of to where he was drafted.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think fantasy football has a lot to do with it too, because if a guy has a big game for you, you start to value him higher because he won me my championship. Number four, Jack Conklin, right tackle. Avoid him if you're a team out there. The cheaper alternative is DeMar Dotson. I know Broadus is real big on offensive linemen. That's where he gets his kicks right there. We'll ask him a little more about that later. Here's wide receiver. Avoid Robbie Anderson, the wide receiver from the Jets who's in free agency.
All right.
I think the bidding's going to be around $12 million a year for him.
Okay.
Cheaper alternative?
Greg Jamings.
Not Greg Jamings.
He'd probably be pretty cheap.
Rashad Perryman. I don't know. Like,
it costs $12 million for Robbie Anderson. That just, you know, makes me think of Amari Cooper, but go ahead. Keep going.
Johan, you think Amari Cooper is a $12 million Robbie Anderson?
No. I think he's way better than Robbie Anderson.
Okay.
And if it costs $12 million for, like, an okay number two wide receiver, like, I just think he's an average number two wide receiver, then what does it cost for an average to above average number one receiver?
All right, so number two, Jadeveon Clowney. Mike, you know I've thrown out there, listen, go get me all the pass rushers.
You like Jadeveon Clowney. Kevin doesn't.
I hated Jadeveon Clowney coming out of college, okay? And I've been long on this boat that I thought he had bad work ethic. I didn't think he was going to live up to the hype of a number one overall pick because he looked good in a pair of shorts. But I'm at a point now with this team where I'm just like, throw all the money in the pot and let's get going. Just give me all the guys that can put pressure on the quarterback and take the football away so Dak can have the ball back. The cheaper alternative, Robert Quinn.
Okay.
That is your cheaper alternative right now. So, and I know Quinn had a really good year this year. He's getting older, but I don't know if other teams in the league value him as much as the Cowboys do.
I think there'll be a few teams that this is going to be a really tough one for the Cowboys because the Cowboys don't like free agency. They take vacation during it. It's spring break time. And so during spring break time, I think Robert Quinn is going to get a lot of interest on kind of 2 or 3 year deals. And that's going to be tough for the Cowboys because they kind of don't care about that type of age of a player. I think they do in this situation, and I do think they want Quinn back. But because he's going to hit the free agent market, I would say I would bet that he's on another team next year rather than the Cowboys would be my bet.
Yeah, I think his market value.
Are you done with spring break?
No, the Cowboys are not done with spring break yet. But, you know, it's smart of them to be on the big boat avoiding coronavirus right now. So that's a very smart thing for the Cowboys front office to do.
Wouldn't it be okay to be on that big boat because it's just your family and friends?
So if you take it, then you can. Because once you get it, you can't get it again, right? And then number
it's
one,
like chicken pox.
Avoid Anthony Harris, the free safety from the Vikings, and cheaper alternative, Trey Boston, who I don't know why could not get a job last year. Cowboys, I'm going with Carl Joseph at safety if I'm going to go try and add somebody to this team. But Trey Boston, no team wanted to touch him last year, and he was really good. And Boston isn't going to cost a team any more than $8 million a season.
Okay, I'm glad Amari Cooper wasn't on the list.
Yeah, Amari Cooper was not on the list. It was Robert Quinn that was the question mark.
I was wrong. I said one. I was right on that, but I was wrong on – I thought they would say, look, you're going to pay too much if you're going to give Amari like $20
million. No, it is absolutely Robert Quinn, and they say, get that guy back. All right, coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece, we have the Barry Bonds Whisperer in studio with us next on The Fan.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.